Oh no, don't change that station. Live from WGBB 1240 on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Trevor, turn off that microphone.
There you go again, Palmer.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome. Today is the Day of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Day, because this is our 76th radio program, and that's the Spirit.
And they said we wouldn't last. But we did.
My doctor said that too. I don't know what he means. Well, pray for me. I'm going for a physical on Monday.
We'll pray.
Okay, good. So, Tony.
So, Palmer, who we got for a guest here?
We have Anna Bashutka. Hey, did I do it right?
Very good.
Anna, are you Greek by any chance?
No. Sicilian, actually.
Oh, okay.
And Anna is here to talk about how the Spirit leads her through her life. How's that?
My favorite subject, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's mine, too. It's also my way of life. It's your way of life. It's Anna's way of life. It's Trevor's. It's Peter's. Everyone that's right here in this studio. We are all led by the Holy Spirit. And listeners, we want you to have that gift, too. And you may already be led by the Spirit, and that's great. But there may be people sitting near you who aren't. So go after them. Evangelize them. Let them know that you're not crazy and that the Spirit is truly alive. Isn't he, Anna?
Amen.
Anna, what has the Holy Spirit done for you? You're very full with the Holy Spirit. That's obvious.
Well, he saved my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for starters.
Yep. My life was going down to the toilet bowl in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And, I knew I needed help. I was going through some very difficult life-changing experiences. I was married and had a husband suffering from alcoholism, which just brought me to my knees. And I was not a practicing Catholic at that time. And through all of the difficulties of loving somebody with an addiction, I knew that I had to return to my faith. And there was no other place to go. Believe me, if there was another place to go, I would have tried it. Actually, I think I did. And no place worked, you know. I joined a 12-step program with the grace of God, and they told me, if you really want this program to work, you need a higher power. And I really wanted the program to work because I knew I needed help. So I returned to the faith of my childhood, and I came back to the Catholic Church. And the Lord was waiting for me with open arms, just open arms.
Al-Anon is really quite a help, isn't it?
They say that God leads you to Al-Anon, and then Al-Anon leads you back to God, and that's what happened in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know you have been very active in the charismatic movement and in the Magnificat for Women ministry.
Yes.
Maybe you tell the listeners about them, and maybe how did the Spirit lead you into those things?
Well, we'll start with the Charismatic Conference,
sure.
and I'm going to do a little advertising here because John asked me to. So
free advertising.
Free advertising.
It always works.
All right. And actually, this was really the beginning because, I had heard about this Charismatic Conference in Scranton, Pennsylvania at the Scranton University, and I'd never been to it. I'd never been to any kind of a conference. But at that point in our marriage, our daughter was only maybe 2.5 years old, and as I had mentioned, my husband was an active alcoholic. Then he was kind of a dry drunk, and then he became an active alcoholic when our daughter was only one. So I needed help, and I was drawn to this Charismatic Conference, and it was life-changing. It drew over 2,000 Catholics. They had awesome speakers just filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Holy Spirit is contagious. You know, if you're around people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're open to the Holy Spirit, and you invite him in, he comes in big time.
It's like a forest fire.
It's like a fire.
It rages
absolutely.
All through the room.
Yes, and he just fills you with hope and encouragement and confidence and knowledge and wisdom and piety and every single thing that I needed to get through the next day of my life. Because at that point, and still to this day, I only take it one day at a time,
Now, when is the conference? Since you're doing a commercial.
It's the first weekend in August. And we, you know, it's like you were saying, the Holy Spirit's like a fire. So when you experience the Holy Spirit and you see how life-changing he is and how he's changing your life, you just want to bring everybody with you. So I couldn't stop inviting people. And in the beginning, we used to have caravans of people. And the Lord just said, Anna, get a bus. And that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit speaking, get a bus. And I remember saying, I don't know anything about getting a bus, charters, who knows about any of this? Just get the bus. You know, we're going to do this together.
So I assume you have a bus.
We have a bus, and there is still room. And the bus leaves from St. Cyril and Methodius in Deer Park, and it also makes a stop in Freeport by our Holy Redeemer. And then we leave that Friday morning at about 9:30, and we come back on Sunday evening at about 8 o'clock. And it's just a life-changing weekend.
It really is. But who's Bob? Who's the...
Bob Valiante is the gentleman who really orchestrates the whole thing. And he and at least, I don't know, over 250 volunteers, you know. So they have a beautiful, charismatic community there. And his wife, Sue, God bless her. She's the behind-the-scenes lady who just really does a lot of everything for him, too.
And you stay on the campus?
You stay on the campus. The rooms are lovely. The conference is on the campus. Like, once the bus drops us off, you don't have to do anything. You just stay put. And then you just, you know, get back on the bus on Sunday. And the food is fabulous. Being Italian, that's important. So it's kind of like a cruise on land. That's what I say. It's delicious.
A land cruise.
And this is what we do. This is what I tell people. We sing, we dance, we pray, we cry. We sing, we dance, we pray, we eat, you know. And this can go on, you know, through the early hours in the morning. I mean, at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's not unusual Saturday evening to go to the top of the hill, and you'll find 200 people having a prayer group there, you know, sharing stories of how the Lord has helped them and praising God at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty
God
awesome.
God is timeless.
Yes.
Now, if they want to get on that bus...
If you want to get on the bus, you can just give me a call. My number is 516-223-8594. 516-223-8594.
What was that?
And I'll give you, you know, or contact Dr. Tony or Dr. John here at the station.
Absolutely.
And we'll absolutely get them over to you.
Yeah, and I'll get your registration form. I'll give you more information. Whatever you need, if you need a Holy Spirit booster shot, a B12, then I really encourage you, just come. Make the commitment to come and just wait and see what God will do. I promise you, it will be a life-changing weekend.
You know what I like most about that conference? It's multicultural, and it's so beautiful to see people of different cultures praying in different languages and just being everyone being touched by the Spirit, regardless of where they go.
Yes.
Where they come from.
Yes.
What's the cost of the conference?
I would say it's under, let's say, roughly $200. And if you're going to take the bus, maybe add a few more dollars to that. So they try to keep it very user-friendly for people. And they're also so good, God bless them, that if you can't afford that amount and you need help and you let them know that, they have people that make contributions.
That's an important
point. It's very important.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah, and also the bus. I mean, you know, if you can't afford the bus, then, you know, we also try to make it affordable for people, and we do what we can do so that you're not going to let money be a factor.
That's wonderful. That's the first weekend in August.
First weekend in August.
Every year.
Be there, be square, yes.
That's right. Yeah. And now you're also involved in the Magnificat ministry. You might as well get them all out of the way.
Okay. Magnificat is a beautiful Catholic women's ministry. We share the story of the Blessed Mother and St. Elizabeth when Our Lady received the good news of being the Mother of God, and she heard her cousin was going to be a mother too after being so old. First thing she did was she went over there to share the good news with her and to help her. And that's what we try to do in Magnificat. We try to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ with each other, and we try to help each other. And we do that by sharing a meal maybe 3-4 times a year. Again, being Italian, the meals are fabulous. We have them at the Carl House in Baldwin. But more importantly is it's the fellowship of the women that come. It's the stories that we share, not only with the speaker, but at the table. A lot of healing happens at the table. And then we always have a speaker, and the speaker will share their story on how, you know, the Lord has helped them and changed their lives. You know, so it's just, it's a beautiful ministry. I am very, you know, I'm humbled and privileged to be a part of this, and I have been from the onset when we first were praying as to whether or not the Lord would let us have this Magnificat chapter in the Diocese of Rockville Center.
Angela Rizzo is...
Angela, God bless her, is the coordinator. I am the assistant coordinator, and we have... beautiful lady who does our, you know, our bookkeeping and our finances, Judy Murphy, and Mary Tierney, who is also on our team. So, you know, it's a combination. Julie Scherger, you know, is our secretary. So it's a combination. It's a lot of work.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's a lot of work, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be doing this.
How often do you meet?
We come together about 3-4 times a year to share a meal together. But we meet as a core group, at least, you know, we try to meet on a regular basis because we need to be prayerful about what the Lord would have us do. Again, the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Holy Spirit, what would you have of us? Who do you want the speakers to be? What are the dates you want the dinner to be? You know, we ask for everything. We ask the Holy Spirit for everything. And you know what? He gives us everything.
And you know, I happen to know a couple of men who snuck in there.
Yeah, we allow some men.
Yeah, every now and then. Yeah.
Were you one of them, Paul?
No, but I
you
do
have
know,
that tendency,
yeah.
You know.
I know a couple of guys who did sneak in.
Yeah, and let me say this also. You know, a few years ago, the Holy Spirit led us to hold a retreat. We had never done a retreat before. I mean, none of us were like, how do you do this? But he, you know, one of the things about the Holy Spirit is he's such a holy pest. You know, he pesters you. And I call him the holy nudger. He just nudges you and nudges you and nudges you relentlessly until you do what he asks you to do. You know, he's gentle, but consistent and persistent. So, you know, with God's grace, we said yes, and we just, again, put one step before the other. We just had our fifth retreat, and I have to tell you, we draw like 85 people with a waiting list, and the healings, the love, the workings of the Holy Spirit are just so evident and clear at these retreats. It's just beautiful. It's just, and we know it's not us because we know we don't know what we're doing. You know, we know that.
Neither do we.
Yeah. So we know it's all Holy Spirit led. You know.
And the power of the Spirit, people can be faced with the heart-wrenching problems, and the Spirit comes in and changes the way they think and the way they begin to act, and the way they speak. And people look and say, what happened to you?
Yes, they think you're nuts.
And it, to me, I wanted to play a song, Trevor, number two. And this is really kind of the theme for the show. It's called Breath of Heaven. And it's Lori Magano and Father Charles Magano. Lori is the Blessed Mother praying for help to get through the rather unbelievable circumstances of becoming pregnant with Jesus. And then Joseph and Father Charles prays, ask for help. How do you become a father to God? And I just want you to, the listeners, realize they're praying to the same Spirit that you can pray to.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your Son. Breath of Heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of Heaven. Pour over me your holiness, for you are Lord.
Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a
I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, be with me now.
Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy.
He looked so small, his face and hands so fair, and when he cries the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king?
And I was led to that song, and I'm saying, Lord, why this song? He said, because I want your listeners to realize that Mary and Joseph prayed to our Holy Spirit, who was alive and in the world then, as thousands of years before that and since, and that they, in their daily lives, have to get into the habit of praying to the Spirit for help. Has this happened to you?
Yeah, it has happened, and it's happened in a remarkable and an incredible life-changing way. And so many things in the song and what you were just saying, the realization that God is real. He's real.
Mm-hmm.
He is Father. He is Father. That's personal. He's your Father. He's my Father. Jesus is real, and he's alive. He's not sitting up in heaven, you know, on a throne, just kind of looking down on us and saying, I'll see you when you die in your heaven, live a good life, and, you know, I'll see you later. He's not doing that.
So that makes Jesus your brother.
Jesus is my our brother. He is real, and he is so present.
And he's aggressive.
He is that, you know, that shepherd that will leave the 99 behind to go after the one, and he ain't stopping until he gets him, because
right.
Father God told him not one of these is going to be lost. And Jesus, you know, takes God's word to heart, and so do I. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. There's no more discussion. It's a done deal. And the Holy Spirit's my best friend. He is my best, best friend.
How did he become your best friend?
I was very needy, you know.
How did you meet the Holy Spirit?
How did I meet? He revealed himself to me. Yeah, he did. He revealed himself to me. I was in the midst of I was Joseph. I was Saint Joseph in that song. You know, how can this be? Reveal your plan to me. How am I going to do this? My husband's drinking again. It was my worst nightmare come true. I came back to the church. I've experienced you. I've experienced you personally, your love, your intimacy, your care. You've introduced me to your mother. She is my mother now. She has taught me how to pray. I asked her to, and she taught me how to pray from my heart. Because if you listen to that song, Our Lady and Saint Joseph, they weren't just saying rote prayers. Not that rote prayers are a bad thing. They were praying from a heart-wrenching gut experience. You know, it was sincere, and it was from the pit of their soul. That's prayer, you know, and that's how she taught me how to pray. She showed me how she prayed, and she taught me how to pray.
And I've experienced that God, when he touches you, is a last-minute Larry. He comes when you're ready to throw in the sponge and just give up entirely, and then somehow or other, you get touched. There's a surprise. Something comes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's just to persevere in that prayer and not to give up. And to really, you know, Our Lady taught me to pray, and then she led me to God's word, because she would say to me, I want you to meet my son. I will bring you to my son, and I will place you on her lap. That's what she told me, and I believed her, you know. And she said, how do you become friends with somebody? And she said, you need to spend time with them. And you need to recognize their voice, you know, how they speak to you. You know, sometimes someone can call you on the phone. They just say, hi, you know who it is.
Right.
Because you hang out with them enough, you
absolutely.
Know. And that's what she was saying to me. Tony, you need to hang out with Jesus and learn how he speaks and how Father God speaks.
Jesus to Mary.
Yeah. And that's what she did. She introduced me to God's word. And I developed this hunger for the Holy Spirit that was, you know, insatiable. I was always with my Bible, and I was a commuter. I was working down on Wall Street, and, you know, it wasn't unusual to see me in the morning looking fabulous, just fabulous, but inside I was a mess, you know. I was really a mess inside, and you couldn't tell it from the outside, but I'd be praying my rosary beads and opening up my Bible and, you know, and taking that word in and holding God to it, because Our Lady told me you can do that. Hold him to his word.
So did the Holy Spirit just come to you?
Through the Blessed Mother.
Through the Blessed Mother.
The Holy Spirit, it's like she took me, she introduced me to the Lord Jesus. Jesus introduced me to Father God. It's like Our Lady took me and put me on Jesus's lap, and he was just hugging me and kissing me. And then our Lord so gently and beautifully introduced me to Papa God, Abba God, my daddy. He just held me and said, no matter what happens, Anna, you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Just rest your little heart, your head on my heart, Don't you worry about a thing. Papa God's going to take care of it. And through that experience, I started experiencing the Holy Spirit, this stirring up inside, this encouragement. And then I started hearing from Him. And that kind of freaked me out. I can't lie.
It you mean really hit words.
Yeah, I heard interiorly He would speak to my heart, you know, and lead. Because I would say, teach me, guide me, Holy Spirit. Come, I need you. I can't do this by myself. Like St. Joseph said in the song, what's the plan? What am I supposed to do? And that's what I did. What's the plan? I know my husband has a sickness. When I took my vows, they were in sickness and in health. This is a sickness. You know, I can't bail. I'm not going to bail. I love this man. But I can't do this without help. You got to show me. The baby's only, you know, a year old. What are we going to do? And you know what? He started to show me. And he continues to show me. And I can't do anything without him. And in the beginning, you know, simple things like, and he would speak to me, depend on me for everything, because I want to give you everything. And Anna, if it's important to you, it's important to me. And I would say, how can I bother you with these little silly things? You're so important being God and stopping wars and, you know, all, doing all this stuff. You know, do you really care about, like, you know, how am I going to get through tonight if he starts getting nasty with the baby? Because of course I care about that. I even care about what you want to wear to work today. I even care about what you want to make for dinner. I care about what you want to do when you go shopping tonight. I care about everything. Everything about you, is if it's important to you, it's important to me. And how are you going to trust me with the big things in your life if you don't start trusting me with the little things in your life? Start trusting me with the little things in your life and see what I do. And I started to do that, and he has always been faithful, always been faithful. And then I started to, like, question, am I really hearing, you know, the Holy, am I hearing God? Is this really Him? So, you know, I just started to walk in faith, and I read my scriptures, and I started reading about the Holy Spirit.
And that's how He spoke to you, through scriptures.
Yeah, through the scriptures, because I started to recognize how He speaks. And I started to recognize that when He speaks to me, when God speaks to me, it's always to encourage me, to correct me, to build me up, to give me peace, to teach me. He just always is very gentle and loving. And, you know, I'm a sinner and I am a mess. You know, there's not a day that I don't say, you know, Lord, I am blessed and highly favored. And I am blessed and highly favored because I know I'm a mess and I need you. That's probably the biggest blessing I have in my life, is that I know that I need you. I need you. I need you. And, you know, he always comes through. He always comes through.
So he's a forever friend.
He's my forever friend, and he's always there for me, and he's always helping me out and teaching me.
And you have to get yourself quiet, though, to listen to him. And I find that. Because my voice, it never stops. And I finally,
we all know that poem.
I know.
We learned that.
That's why I'm on the radio and not on television, because I talk so much. But, you know, once you quiet your inner voice, then somehow or other you feel a presence, or you may even not hear a voice, but there's words there. There's something
that
you know.
You just know that, and you know it's not you.
That's right.
You know it's not you.
And you also know it's not evil, because evil only gives you harsh, horrible things.
And that's how Our Lady taught me. I really prayed so sincerely for discernment. You know, I read about the Holy Spirit and what His gifts are. I read, how do I recognize you? How do I know you? I invite you in. And that's how I learned, you know, how He is. And then she also taught me about, you know, the evil spirits. They're real, too.
Oh, yeah.
they're always around.
The they're 24/7, too, you know. And when I get discouraged, when I get unpeaceful, when I get unsettled, when I think the world is falling apart and I become hopeless, or I'm being led in that direction, I know that's not of God.
And, you know, there may be people listening who are Catholic, believe it or not, who say, is this approved by the church?
Listen, when I went to my first prayer group, it was in the middle, and I prayed for a prayer group, and the Lord gave me two, and I prayed for it to be on Wall Street. He gave me two Wall Street prayer groups. Can you believe that? Two Wall Street prayer groups.
Wall Street, nevertheless.
Wall Street, that's what I mean. And I remember going to Our Lady of Victory on William Street for my first prayer group meeting, and I went downstairs in the lower church, because of course it's going to be in the lower church, you know. Mm-hmm. And there had to be at least 100 suits down there. I mean, women, men, executives. It was unbelievable. And they had their hands raised up, and they were singing and praising God out loud. Thank you, Jesus. And they were saying something I didn't understand. And I just stood back and says, does the pastor know what's going on down here? Is this Catholic? Does the pastor know? Really? What is this, you know?
But you know who really has been advocating this for years? Pope Paul VI, Pope John Paul II, Pope John the 23rd, opening the windows and letting the Spirit in, and of course Pope Benedict right now, saying that unless you have that personal, intimate relationship with God, with Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, your religion's going to be empty.
It's personal. He's real. He's personal. He will reveal himself to you in just the way that he knows you're going to get it.
Yep.
That you're going to know it's him. And for each person, it may be a different experience.
Let me get this straight.
Please.
You have a personal relationship with God our Father, with Jesus our big brother, and with the Holy Spirit.
And Mama Mary, yes.
And Mama Mary.
Yes.
And isn't that so wonderful?
Let's not even begin to talk about all the saints, okay? Those are my family members up there, and there have been many a day when I've been on my knees, and I have heard them cheering me on. I have heard them, you know, just hang in there. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. God is good. God's faithful. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Come on, Anna. Come on, Anna. Come on, Anna. So they are real also.
You know, you're talking to a psychologist, but I want to tell you something.
So watch what you say.
No. I want to tell you something. I've heard the cheering too. Yeah. I've heard the cheers. I've heard the laughter. I've heard the applause. All whatever way that Spirit can encourage us to move ahead, and many times move ahead against what I normally would do.
Amen. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not what you want to do. I'll tell you at least how he's revealed himself to me, because it's very real. And what you said before, I just want to say amen to it. I need to be still to listen and to hear. And we are very blessed to have a perpetual adoration chapel in Freeport. It's open.
You live there.
20, I know, I see you there all the time.
Yeah.
24/7. You can get your own key and you can go in whenever you want. And again, Our Lady, Mama, how do I know it's God? How am I going to hear you? God, I beg you, please, I need you. I need to hear you, and I need to know that it's really you. I need help. I need you. And of course, she leads you to the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be still.
Right? In that chapel, you need a key to get in.
Yes.
And I have a key, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I belong to the club, too.
Yeah, I don't know if Peter has a key. I'm going to get him a key. Yeah, the key, you know, the keys to the kingdom, seriously. But this is how the Holy Spirit revealed himself to me, and that I knew that I knew that I knew that it was him. I had been going to a lunchtime Al-Anon meeting. I was led to go every day because that's what I needed to do. I was on my way back from lunch, going back to my office on Wall Street. And in my heart, I hear, I want you to go into the Dalton bookstore. There's a book there for you. I don't want to go to the Dalton. It's lunchtime. I just finished a meeting. I got to get back to lunch. Look at the time. I have to get back. I don't have that much time, you know. But again, the Holy Spirit, no, I have a book for you. I want you to go. I said, well, I'll go after work. Have you ever argued with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, right? You always lose.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's such a nudge.
I know.
He's such a holy nudge. So he goes, no, I want you to go now. I said, okay, but I've never been in that bookstore. It's lunchtime. It's going to be packed. I don't have a lot of time. What am I supposed to do? Tell me what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go, and I'll go. So he said, just go in, ask where the spiritual books are. I said, okay. I go in. It's packed. The first person I see, I ask. And of course, it's at the back of the store, way back in the store. And there's three big shelves filled with books. So I said, oh God, Lord, I don't have that much time. Please, how am I going to know what this book is? And he said, I will make it clear to you. I said, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He said, just start at the beginning of the row, go book by book, and you will know the book. So I said, okay, Lord, and I started. And I guess halfway there, I see this little book nudged in between these two larger books, and I pull it out, and the title of the book is Mr. God, This is Anna.
Oh.
Mr. God, This is Anna. And the picture on the book is this real tall man and this little tiny little girl, and she has her hand lifted up, and he's holding her hand, walking with her, leading her. And not only was it the title of the book, but during this period of time, Our Lady was teaching me that I needed to pray and ask God for the faith of a child. Because Jesus had said, unless you become like one of these little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I didn't only want to enter it. I wanted to live in there. I wanted to romp around and run around in there. I wanted that to be my home. So she confirmed to me, again, just even with the picture on this book, that this was the Holy Spirit. Fast forward, 6 months later, same thing happens. I'm coming back from lunch. Lord says, Holy Spirit tells me again, go in, there's another book. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go in, okay. I go in, this time I know where to go. And I said, you know, we don't have much time here. And now it's not just me, I say we, because it's me and the Holy Spirit, because I am never alone, ever, ever. You know, you're going to make it clear, right? Yes, Lord, thank you. So I start and I go looking, and there is this bright canary yellow book. I pull it out, and the title of that book is Anna's Book, a sequel to Mr. God, This Is Anna. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. You know, you can. I'm not that creative. That's exactly what happened. So by situations like that, he was confirming, it is me. It is me. Trust me.
But you trusted. Yeah, you trusted.
Trust me. Trust me. You know, when you ask me to come into your life, when you invite me in, when you make a home for me, you know, I come, and I'm not leaving. I'm here to stay. I'm here for the long haul, mm-hmm. You know. And then when I mess up, which is daily, you know, he corrects me. But I have to say, you know, it's not like how the world corrects you, you know, with condemnation and judgment and anger. When I am corrected by the Lord, Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, he corrects me in gentleness, mm-hmm. You know. And he shows me and he reveals to me. And sometimes it's tough to look at your sins. You know, it's tough to look at your sins. But he shows them to you in such a way. And he shows you how, you know, you need to repent of this. You need to change this. And you can't change it by yourself, Anna. But we can change it together.
He'll walk with you through that process
everything,
of change.
Everything.
Okay, now.
Don't be afraid of confession.
Okay.
Call me. I'll take you.
We have listeners out there. I'm sure. And we're growing every week, by the way.
We're up to 10.
10? I thought we were up to 20, but okay, 10. And I'm sure many of them are saying to themselves, okay, this Holy Spirit, I want to make friends with the Holy Spirit. How can I do that? What do I do? How do I get to make friends with the Holy Spirit?
Very simple. Invite him. Ask him. Speak to him like he's real, because he is. He is real. You know, wherever you have to go to be in a quiet place, just a prayer from your heart. That's true prayer. It's from your heart. Because you know what? God knows what's in your heart anyway, you know. But he needs to hear it from you.
And you can't predict when it happens. I'm going to share a little story about what happened after my first wife died. And I was going through the wake. And it's a horrendous experience going through the wake. And I went to bed the night before the final day, and I said, Lord, there's no way I'll get through that day. He said, I'll be there. I said, yeah, Lord, but I can't make it through the day. I woke up the next morning, and out of nowhere, I had peace inside of me and with such an extent that I just never even gave a thought of not being able to make it through the day. And I had it through the whole day, and I knew.
You knew.
I knew where that came from.
Amen. Just don't be relentless. Just be relentless. Be persistent in your prayer, because St. Paul tells us we need to be persistent and to pray unceasingly. That means 24/7. And, you know, I didn't realize this. I said, well, how do you pray, in, you know, without stop? And the Holy Spirit, ask me. You want to pray 24/7, I will pray within you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is the truth. I will wake up in the middle of the night several times, and I'm praying.
Me
or
too.
I'm praising, or I'm singing.
Me too.
In the middle of the night. And I got to tell you
me
something
too.
Else. It happens. Just invite him. Say, my life is, you know, it comes with admitting that you need help. And that takes humility. It comes with acknowledging that I cannot do this life by myself anymore. I don't know anybody out there that doesn't have burdens. We all have burdens, you know, be it with family members, co-workers, you know, we all need help. There's not one of us out there that doesn't. And if you don't think that you need help, then you need more help than anybody else.
That's right.
Because we all need the help. And you can go wherever you want to go and try whatever you want to try, but I promise you, you may get some temporary relief, but it will not give you the permanent relief that you need. It will not give you the answer. There's only one answer, only one. And his name is Jesus. He's the answer to every question, every problem. He is the solution to all of your needs. His name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
And he's our big brother?
He's our all in all. And you know, you want a personal relationship, then you have to put in the time. Sorry, there's no shortcut here.
See, I don't call him Jesus. I give him a different name. I told you so.
I told you so.
I told you so, because yeah. No matter what, when you're finished and you've gone through something, he'll say, I told you so. What's the matter with you? Why don't you listen? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, and listening to God is not unusual. You have a saint of the day, don't you?
Yes, I do. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, I think he's been filled with the Holy Spirit all his life, this saint. Saint Bede. And he's actually called the Venerable Saint Bede. And he was born in the year 672. And
672.
Yeah, way before our time, Palmer. Way before.
No, but it was only 2 years before I was born.
And he died in the year 735. But the thing is, he wasn't canonized a saint until the year 1899.
What did he do?
Why?
That?
I don't know.
What did he do that was so special?
He did so many things. To be honest with you, his anniversary is celebrated on May 25th. By the way, do you know who celebrates May 26th?
Your wedding anniversary.
My
you
twin
told
brother's
me this before.
No, my twin brother's birthday.
Oh, okay.
And so he's the patron saint. Believe it or not, he's the patron saint of lectors.
Of what?
Lectors. The lectors in the church. He's the patron saint of writers. He's the patron saint of script readers. And to him, death as we know it, really to us rather, death as we know it is never really a happy event. But it is hard to imagine a happier or more peaceful death than that of Saint Bede when he passed away. He was both a monk and a priest, and spent almost his whole entire life in a Benedictine monastery in England. He went there at the age of 7. There's no history, it doesn't reveal anything about his parents, nothing at all about his family, his background, except for the fact that he was turned over to the monastery at the age of 7. And there, he was educated by the monks. And he's famous for being the monk who wrote the first history of the church and gives us one of the early examples, believe it or not, of the healing power of holy water.
Hmm.
And he gives such a beautiful example. And he wrote the religious history of the history of England. And he devoted all his energies to the study of the Bible. He was truly within the Bible.
Is he the reason why we have scripture today?
He's one of the reasons why we have scripture today. And he actually translated John's Bible, John's writings, from Greek into English.
Mm.
He spent his whole life on that. And he also wrote very, very powerful books. And he devoted so much of his energies to the Bible that it was always been his delight in singing his devotion in the daily services, his devotion to God and to the Holy Spirit. But as I said, little is known about his early life, and research could not ascertain the names of his parents or family members, except suffice it to say that he was sent to St. Paul's Monastery in England when he was 7. He was educated there and spent his whole life there, knowing very little about the outside world. And guess what? he had no interest in knowing anything about the outside world. His world was that of God and the Holy Spirit.
Doesn't that sound like us?
Sounds like what Anna's talking about all morning.
It's the way Trevor lives too.
He was content in dedicating his whole life to praying, worshiping God, doing religious research, studying the scriptures, and translating John's gospel from Greek to early English. In those days, all the books, believe it or not, were handwritten. Handwritten using a quill. Do you know what a quill is, John Palmer?
It's a bird. Oh, that's a quail.
It's a quill. It's a pen. You write in ink. So all the books were written with a quill, which was a sort of a pen and ink. And that's how he wrote them. In the early days, he wrote so many books. As he grew older, he became sickly. So he had to have an assistant, a young monk named Wilbert. He is considered one of the most learned of his time and a major influence on religion as it stands and grew today. It is an in-depth accounting of Christianity in England up to the year 729. He is called Venerable to acknowledge his wisdom and learning. He was the first to date all his research events as Anno Domini, AD. He started that. And in May of 735, he became weaker and knew he was close to death. He lay to work all night and at dawn insisted that he finish his translation on the work that he was doing. There was still one chapter left to be translated in John's Gospel. He told his associate to get his pen and to start writing fast. He wanted to complete this task. He continued dictating slowly until it was there, 3 p.m. Then he distributed among his fellow monks all his valuables, consisting of peppercorn, napkins, and incense, which is surely a sign of his modest style of living. When this was done, he asked his fellow priests to pray for him. He was happy, happy to die, happy to see his Creator, happy to finally be with his brother Jesus. He died singing the words, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit," as he chanted the last word, he breathed his last breath and died. He died where he lived his whole life, in a perfect state of happiness. But when he had done all his life, he spent all his life, since the age of 7, in the service of God, total devotion, faith, and dedication. It's amazing that such a learned and holy person was not recognized as a saint until the year 1899.
And he lived his life Totally
dedicated to God
and through Jesus, the power of the Spirit
and the Holy Spirit, but lived such a simple, humble life with no possessions. Peppercorn and napkins.
Now, we don't expect our listeners to be saints, but you certainly have.
Why not?
Well, we because we're not perfect, but
we're all
you certainly
to
should
saints.
Strive for it.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, I want to get a T-shirt that says that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm working
we're
on it day by day, practicing Catholic.
Saints.
I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm working on it.
And you know what? Don't get discouraged, Palmer. It took him from 735 to 1899 to become a saint.
That's it.
So when you go visit the Lord, don't get discouraged if you're not declared a saint.
All right, all right.
And so that's the humble life of Saint Bede. And the reason why I did want to do it, and I've been trying to do it for several weeks, is because he was such a humble man. And he gave up his whole life, the world, just to devote it to Jesus and the Bible.
Amen.
So it's possible.
All things are possible with God, right? And the saints, too. I mean, they. When you read the lives of the saints, you know, St. Augustine was quite a character.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And look at what happened. His mother prayed for how many years, 30 years,
and
that he should become a good boy and get married and have a family. He ended up being a priest, a bishop, and a doctor of the church.
Yes. Oh, by the way.
So thank you, Lord.
He is, St. Bede is the only doctor of the church from England. There were only 33 doctors of the church. He's one of them, and I think there are 3 women.
Well, you know, there's also, besides just the Holy Spirit, if you could ever say that, there's also the recognition what a devotion to the true presence in the Eucharist can do. Because that's nourishment. That's the food we need to help us remain on track with the Spirit and to be open fully to God. I know you have that, Anna, don't you?
It's a life source for me. And the belief, and I never take this for granted, the faith and the belief that Jesus Christ is fully alive and present in the Holy Eucharist, that that's not a host. That is the body and blood and soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of the world for all eternity. That's an awesome truth and reality. And to be able to sit in his presence, you know, and just be still is a grace that I never want to take for granted. That's a tremendous grace.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely. It's unbelievable what happens.
Short and sweet, the Eucharist, the soul food.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is food alive, and we said before, he's not sitting up next to God the Father on the right hand, just hanging out. He lives inside of you. He lives inside of me. He's alive inside. And if we believe that, and we surrender and abandon ourselves to him and trust the Holy Spirit to move, he moves, and you better get out of the way. He moves.
And he goes straight for your heart.
And he's faithful. He is so, so faithful.
I'd like to pray for all of our listeners right now so that they become on fire for the Holy Spirit. The song is God is Forever Wakeful. And it's Denny Bouchard. He plays all these music. I took it from his album. God is always awake. He doesn't sleep. And we ask, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, at this moment, touch the hearts of those who have listened to Anna's testimony and to Tony's talk on St. Bede. And we ask you, Lord, touch them now. Invite them to the Charismatic Conference in August. Invite them to the Magnificat for women, even if they're men, so that they can participate in so many different ways in your presence, Lord. Help them to recognize that you are truly and fully alive in the Eucharist, that they can receive at Mass. And if they can't receive it for one reason or another, they can go before you in the Blessed Sacrament in adoration and then be led to reconciliation and then to be able to receive you. You know, Catholics are looked upon as, oh, that's the religion that says you can put 1,000 angels on a head of a pin. And yes, that's exactly it. That's reality for us. We are spiritual lovers of God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And of course, we're led there by Mary, the mother of Jesus. And listeners, we're praying right now that you are led there today. That somehow or other, now that we're in ordinary time, in our church, this program become an extraordinary time for you, and that God, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, rises up and says, hey, would you like a personal relationship with me? Would you like to be one in love with me? Would you like an adventure of a lifetime? Would you like to walk with me in the excitement that only my presence in you can generate? If you want all that, then step forward and say yes. This is our audio radio altar call. Stand up if you can stand up. Lift up your hands and say, come, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Fill me. Fill me with your presence. Allow me the privilege of getting to know you intimately so that you lead me from here on out in my life. Praise you, Lord. We pray for all the people who have sent in petitions as well.
And of course we pray for Liz, and of course we pray for Frank and baby David and all those that sent in their petitions, those that are looking for employment, those that are suffering with cancer, and those that are praying just for happiness. We offer them up to Jesus.
And with this new life, we're going to get together with John Michael Talbot, and we're going to build a city of God. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yes.
It's loop time for
it. Let's do it.
Slumber, I'll rise from your sleep. A new day is dawning for all those who weep. The people of darkness have seen a great light. The Lord of our has conquered the night. Let us build a city of God. May your tears be turned into dancing. For the Lord, our light and our love, has turned the night into day. Let us build a city of God.